Today, one of my favorite messages that we're going to go through, a message that many of you may have heard over and over. If you've ever had me speak before, if you've ever had me as your speaker, you have heard this message over and over. But the reality of it, the truth of it, does not cease to amaze me. And the reality of it and the truth of it is still important to every one of you in this entire room. Not one of you in this room can walk away from tonight's message and not say, that is one of the most important things I have ever heard. And it's not because I said it. But it's because of what God said. Because God clearly communicates his truth in his word for you to change how you live and how I live. But before we get started, I'm going to open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for these campers. I thank you for a safe day. I thank you that we haven't had anybody injured on horses. I pray that we'll continue to have a safe week, an enjoyable week. I pray that we'll continue to learn about you. I pray that everyone here will be willing to do right regardless of the circumstances, that they'll begin that process of choosing to do right today, that they'll understand your word, that you'll give me clarity of thought, the ability to communicate truth clearly for your glory, not for my own, not so I look good, but so that you and you alone are glorified. I love you, God, and I praise you for all that you've done. In your name I pray, amen. You may not know this, but I have a lot of problems. Okay. You ever had someone look at you and be like, man, you got problems. Somebody had that happen to you. Someone just looked at you and be like, you got problems. I've had that happen to me. Someone looked at me and was like, Bodie, man, you got problems. And they're right. I mean, if we really sit here and think about all of my problems, I mean, the list, it gets embarrassingly long. Okay, it gets a little unwieldy at some point. So one of my problems is I'm really bad at math. Someone else in the room, whew, I'm not alone. Math is a struggle. I don't know about 2 plus 2 and 3 plus 5. The numbers start rolling around before you know it. I'm like, where are we? We're in Albuquerque. I don't know what that is. How does that relate to math? Somehow it does. I don't know. They make up stuff. I'm telling you, imaginary numbers exist. Why? Don't ask me. I have problems with that, but it exists. So, I mean, I got problems with math. Some of my other problems, if we continue down the line, I make a lot of mistakes. I make mistakes at work. I've got some good stories about some dumb stuff that I've done. I work in the IT department here at Ironwood, and I have cut about 30 to 50 wires, just completely clean, cut them through, and they were all important wires. They are still cut, by the way, except for one. I fixed one of them. I'm really proud of that one, in fact, and we should all go on a field trip, and I'll go show you the one wire that I fixed. Yeah, you've probably been past the server room, and you just see like 30 or 50 wires just kind of flopping around, right? They've got no home. They're just hanging out, right? That was me. I went through, and I just cut them off, right, because I got problems. The other problem I have, and I've got some 100 stories for this, I'm really bad at directions.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you guys, some of you, how many of you guys have heard my embarrassing story about bad directions? Yeah. I get lost in vehicles. I get lost at family picnics. I'm serious, man. That's a good story, too. I got lost one time in a minivan by myself. It was someone else's minivan, too. I was following the GPS, I promise. And I ended up on a back road. I was in the dirt and the sand. I thought I was going to die, okay? Thought the minivan was definitely going to die. I wasn't sure if I'd have any wheels by the end. Because, I mean, there were rivets, divots, other words for holes. Well, whatever you can think of. Potholes. There we go. That's another one. Anybody else have other words for? I mean, I just got problems because I struggle with directions. And I struggle with math. And I make mistakes at work. And I just do dumb things. And I have lots of embarrassing stories. I've gone into the wrong bathroom, for Pete's sake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's another story for another time. See, here's the thing. I have a lot of problems, right? And if we really spent time and you put my life under a microscope, you'd be like, Bodie, you are kind of an idiot sometimes. And I'd be like, yeah, I make mistakes. I got problems. But at the end of the day, there's one problem that every single person in this room shares. I may have problems, but there's one problem that every single person in this room has. And none of us can get around it. None of us can say, no, I'm exempt from that problem, or I was born without that problem, or I've managed to avoid that problem. You see, you can get good at math. You can get good at directions. You can do well in your job area. You could not have the same problems that I have, but there is one problem that every single person, if you are a human being, if you are born on this earth, if you are breathing today, if your heart is beating, pumping blood through your veins, you have a problem. And it's the same problem that I have. And it's a problem that none of us can ignore. We can try. It's a problem that we can try to just say, it doesn't matter. That's just what we all struggle with. That's just a problem we all have. It's a problem we can pretend like it doesn't exist. But it's a problem that every one of you need to confront at some point in your life and make a decision about, to decide whether you're going to deal with it the way God tells us to, or you're going to continue living the way you want to. You don't have to turn there. I have it up on the screen. It's found in Romans 3:23. You may have heard this verse 100 times in your life. And if you have, please do not check out on me tonight. Please pay attention, because this problem, shared by every person in the room, is shown to us very clearly in Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This is the reality that every person in this room faces. Every one of us has done wrong. When Romans 3:23 says that we have sinned, it means that we have broken God's law. We have lived contrary to what the Bible says we should do. We have done something that violates Scripture, that is against God. God tells us that we shouldn't lie, and yet everyone in this room at some point has lied. God tells us not to be proud, and yet at some point everyone in this room has been proud. God tells us not to be selfish, and yet everyone in this room has been selfish. And because we've done one thing wrong, lied, been proud, been selfish, if any one of those is true of you, then you have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if you're sitting here tonight and you're like, I've not done any of those things. I am not a sinner. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned. There's no way around that word all. It's all inclusive. It's an ultimatum. Everyone is a sinner. That brings us to what's so what? Big deal. What's wrong with me just being a sinner? Can I just live as good of a life as possible? If that's you tonight, pay attention to this next verse. This next verse tells us God's response to our sin. It's found in Habakkuk 1:13. Don't worry about turning there, because I'm going to put it up on the screen. Habakkuk 1:13 says that God responds this way to our sin. It says in Habakkuk 1:13, "Thou," talking about God, "art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." In this verse, we see that God is so holy, he is so perfect, he is so completely clean of all sin, that when he looks down from heaven, he will not look at sin. He cannot tolerate it. So what's the big deal? We all have the problem of sin. God cannot tolerate that sin. It goes further. We see in Romans 6:23 that God just doesn't not tolerate it. God also has to punish it. We see in Romans 6:23, again, it's on the screen, "For the wages of sin is death." All it's saying there is that what you and I deserve, because we are sinners, because we have the problem of sin, you and I deserve to die. And when Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, that word death isn't just referring to a physical cease of existence. That word death is referring to an eternal separation from God in hell. Sometimes we avoid the topic of hell, or we think that God is so mean for doing that, but don't you realize that we are sinners, that God is perfect, and according to Habakkuk 1:13, he can't tolerate it. It's completely against his character, so of course he has to punish it. That's the just thing to do. The best way for me to illustrate this, and you've probably heard this illustration from me before, but I think it's an excellent illustration. I'm going to take somebody for example. So let's say Jarrett. Jarrett and I, we had a good friendly match of air hockey, right? It was friendly, right? No one was mad at each other. Right, there we go. he did beat me. Now let's say that Jarrett and Dylan go against each other in air hockey. And let's say that Dylan just creams him. I mean, just annihilates him, 10-0. No chance. Jarrett loses. And then let's say that Jarrett is just real upset, real angry. He's like, man, I put my heart into that game, and he lost. So let's say that Jarrett then gets on Google Maps. He puts in Dylan's house. Just types that out. Boom, there it is. I don't know, Google knows where Dylan lives, all right? He goes, you know, I'm going to Dylan's house. He hops in a car, drives on down. Do you drive? Okay, but he breaks the law. Drives on down. He drives on down to Dylan's house. He shows up at the door. Boom, opens the door. Boom, slams it. Walks up to the house, nonchalant. Busts open the door. The door is unlocked. Woo, he's lucky today. He walks up the stairs. Do you have stairs in your house?
No.
No stairs. He goes down the hall. Do you have a hall in your house? He goes down the hall. Okay, he's walking. He turns right. He goes to the door. Boom, Dylan's room. Does it say Dylan's room? Yeah, sure. All right. Says Dylan's room. Boom, opens the door. There's Dylan's room. He brings out his baseball bat. Boy, yeah. This got real, didn't it? Y'all just about lost it there. Baseball bat, boom, through the window. You have a window in your room?
Yeah.
Shattered. No more. You ain't got one no more. At least you ain't got no glass no more. He then takes the baseball bat over to your bedside stand. You got a bedside stand? You got a TV too? Yeah, we're getting there. He goes over. He smashes that bedside stand straight in. Boom, legs gone. Boom, drawer gone. Wham, broken lamp. You got a lamp? You ain't have one no more. That thing's out the window, right? That's down the street. Some guy's running away with it. All right. Next thing he knows, he goes and turns over, and here's your TV, right? Is it flat screen? A couple inches wide, like this? Oh, yeah. All right, so it's a couple hits, man. Couple hits. One, two, three hits into the TV. Boom, on the ground. Shattered in, broken in. You got a game console, Xbox. Ooh, gone. No more. He takes that sucker home. Puts that thing in his pocket. He's like, I ain't going to be beat by no Dylan ever again, right? He's getting justice on this Dylan guy, right? Now, let's say that Dylan, being the smart, forward-thinking man that he is, puts into place inside his room. He's really thought ahead on this. He puts in a security camera, and he's got a direct feed into his phone. He pulls that phone out, and he sees this whole thing go down. He sees Jarrett in there just boom, bam, thrown out the window, take it in the pocket, walk away. Throw the can of gasoline, light it on fire. Here's the thing. Dylan records the whole thing. Saves all the footage, backs it up on OneDrive, backs it up on iCloud, all right? This guy's not playing around. Backs it up on Google Drive. He's got three backups on three different clouds. Here we go. He takes it down to the judge. He opens up his phone. He goes to the judge. He says, Judge, I got a little problem here. And he shows him footage of our boy Jarrett taking down the house. A judge then brings Jarrett into the courtroom, brings the jury into the courtroom, brings the police into the courtroom, and they show the evidence before the jury, and they say, we have this man on camera. The boy's not even wearing a mask, right? We can see him. He's walking through. He's taking it out. He's destroying the place. Now, here's the thing. That judge has a decision to make. The jury has a decision to make. They are either going to declare him guilty and punish him for what he did, for driving illegally, you know, for destroying the house, all these things. It's very clear he did these things.
They don't have proof of the judge.
No, they got proof. They have a decision to make. Are they going to charge him for what he did, or are they not? And if that judge were to look at the evidence, and let's say the jury says he's guilty, let's punish him, but then the judge gets their verdict and says, nope, don't think so. Jarrett, I like you. You're good to go. I mean, Dylan, would be furious. I would be furious. That judge saw the evidence. The jury indicted him. They gave him a guilty verdict. They were going to punish him, and then the judge let him off the hook. That judge would not be considered just. That's an unjust judge. That judge is not doing his job properly. So when it comes to God, the creator of the universe, a just, loving God, when we sin and he cannot tolerate that sin and he has to punish that sin, it makes no sense for him to be like, oh, you guys are sinners. That's all right. I'll give you a pass today. Or you've only sinned a little bit, so it's all right. No, a just God has to live according to his character. And he has to punish sin because he is a just judge. This is God's response to sin. If I were to end tonight's message right here on just these two things, our problem as humans that we are sinners, and God's response to our sin, that he is going to judge it because he is holy and just. If I were to end right here tonight, none of us in this room would have any hope. If I were to go home tonight and I said, all right, that's all we got time for, to be continued tomorrow, there's nothing else I have to say, you and I would have no hope at all. What I love about Scripture, what I love about what God has done, is that he doesn't leave anybody without any hope. God made a solution for us. I'm about to put a verse on the screen that is a very popular, very used verse. If you have heard this verse 1,000 times in your life and you can quote it word for word, please don't lose the significance of what it says. Just because you know it through and through, front to back, does not mean that this verse is not important to your life. John 3:16 gives us God's solution. It says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world. It means he loved you and I, every single person in this room. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. You see, God is holy. He's got to punish sin, and he can't tolerate it, and he's just, so he's going to punish it. But here's the reality. He loved every one of you so much that he decided to send his only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a real person that lived a real life. And he didn't just live any old life. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And at the end of that life, he was killed on a cross. He didn't deserve to. He didn't do anything wrong. He was perfect. Unlike you and I, he did not share the problem that we have of sin. He lived a perfect life. And by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross, God took our place. Somebody was punished for what we deserve. This whole truth can be really confusing. There's a lot going on in this verse. We have a solution of Jesus being sent to earth to die on the cross, and then we have the statement that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What it means there is a saying that if you believe in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, all you have to do is say, I believe in that. At a single point in your life, you choose to believe in what Christ did on the cross, then it says that God will give you eternal life. Because it's such a confusing thing, I try to illustrate it this way. Right here I have Bodhi's record, Bodhi's problems. You could just list out the problems that Bodhi has. These problems are not just true of me, but I guarantee you, if you look through this list, you will be able to identify and say, you know what, I have these same problems. See, we are liars. We get unjustly angry. We are discontent, selfish, and proud. And because this is true of us, you and I cannot have a relationship with God. God has to punish us. Right here, I have Christ's record. Christ's record looks a lot different than mine. Christ's record is not the same as anybody in this room. Christ's record is sinless, holy, accepted by God, free to live with God. This is who Jesus Christ was. And yet he died on a cross so that we who deserve to die on that cross don't have to. And the only way that we who deserve to die on the cross don't have to die on the cross is if we come to a place in our life where we decide that we are going to believe in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for salvation. This bag is simply an illustration. It's an illustration of coming to a point in your life where you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that you believe that you are a sinner, that Christ was sinless, and that he died for you. And if you ever come to a spot in your life where you truly believe that, there's an amazing thing that happens. There's an amazing thing that God does in each and every one of our lives when we truly believe that. He takes those records. He takes what Jesus was attributed for, being perfect. And he takes what I deserve, death, for being a sinner. And he takes those and he changes them in a drastic way. You'll notice that on this piece of paper, we have my record. All the things that are attributed to me. And yet, you'll see that my name has been crossed out. That in my place, Christ's name has been put there. He didn't do any of these things. But according to John 3:16, that when we believe on him, our records are exchanged and we can have an everlasting life with God. The only way we have that is if Christ's record is then attributed to us. You'll notice now that Christ's name has been crossed out and my name has put in his place. None of these things I've done. I don't deserve to be attributed any of this. I should look like this record. This is truly who I am. And yet, because I came to a place where I believed in Jesus Christ, those records were switched. And when Christ died on the cross, he paid the penalty that I deserved. It's like Christ coming into the courtroom where Jarrett is being charged and saying, "Hey, judge, don't charge him. Charge me. I'm the guy that broke in. I'll take it. I'll take the blame for what Jarrett did." And when Christ died on the cross, he's saying to everyone in the room, "I'll take the blame for what you've done. I'll take the sin. And I'll die for it." And because he paid that penalty, because he paid off what we deserved, we get to walk out of the courtroom completely free to live with God, completely free to have a relationship with God. It wasn't anything we did. It wasn't going to church that got us here. It wasn't because we did enough good things. It's not because I did enough good things that I was saved, that I could have a relationship with God, that I can just walk out of the courtroom. There was nothing in my own power that I did to earn this. It was simply the choice to believe in Jesus Christ, and that's it. There's nothing you add to it. This leaves us with a choice that each and every one of us have. Our choice. It's clearly stated in Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Because Christ died on the cross, he paid the penalty you and I deserved. And then God offers that gift, the free gift of salvation, to every person in the room. And he offers you a choice. Are you going to rely on yourself? Are you going to rely on your works? Church? What are you going to rely on? Because none of those things get you a relationship with me. None of those things pay for what you have done. And he offers us Jesus Christ and says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, I will take your sin. My favorite ways to illustrate this is actually with a horse. You see, when you're riding a horse, there's a really important thing on that horse. We call it a cinch, right? That cinch goes underneath the horse. It acts as like a belt, keeps you on the saddle. Now, my cousin Clay, he was in horsemanship with me. I've told some cousin Clay stories. He's sitting on his horse out in the arena. He's on Murray. Murray was one of our biggest horses we ever had. Big fat horse, big tall horse. He's sitting on that horse, and there's a thing, and if you haven't figured this out yet, you will. There's a thing horses do when you first put the saddle on and you tighten that cinch. What do they tell you to do later on in the ring? You got to check it, right? They tell you to make sure it's tight, right? Why is that? Well, because horses are smart, right? And you put that saddle on and you put the cinch on, they inflate their stomach. They fill it with air. And then later on, you know, when they're walking around the arena all happy about their life, they let all that air out, right? And if you don't check the little cinch, that cinch ain't doing nothing anymore because they just let all the air out. And it's just hanging loosey-goosey-like. So my cousin, he's in this situation, and he doesn't realize it because he didn't check his cinch. He's sitting in the middle of the arena, horse standing still, and his cinch is just kind of dangling there because Murray has let out all the air in his stomach, and Murray's pretty proud of himself. Murray's like, I outsmarted him. I got this figured out. And slowly, and this is the best part, my cousin Clay's not even moving anywhere. He's just sitting on the horse. And he begins to slide off to the left. You know, he's just timber all the way to the ground. He's just going face first into the dirt. And in the moment of him sliding to the left, cinch doing nothing, he's sliding to the left, Mr. Ben is standing next to him on a horse. And Mr. Ben has his hand out like this. And he says, Clay, take my hand. If you take my hand, you will not end up in the dirt. Now, my cousin has a choice to make. He's in a similar situation here. Depend on myself. Hold on with all of my strength. Or reach out and take the hand. Take the free gift, right? Mr. Ben's not charging. He's not saying you owe me anything. He's just saying I will save you, and that's it. You don't owe me nothing. Now, my cousin Clay, being my cousin Clay, decided in that moment to depend upon himself. And he held on with all of his might. And in slow motion, he plummeted off the biggest horse at Ironwood, face down in the dirt. And Mr. Ben's just sitting there with a hand out. I could have helped you. You just had to reach out and take it. You and I, because of our sin, are sliding off our horse. We have a problem. We deserve to go to hell. We deserve to not have a relationship with God. And yet, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, God is sitting there with his hand outstretched saying, all you have to do is choose to believe in what Christ did for you. That's it. It's not of works, because if it was, you could boast about it. You could be proud about what you did. But it's not about what you do. It's simply about choosing to believe in what Jesus Christ did for you. And if you do that, if you reach out and you depend on that and that alone, God can save you from your sin. He'll replace your record, and you're free to live with him. You don't have to pay the penalty of hell. You can spend an eternity in heaven with God. It doesn't end there, though. This is the spot, if you've actually come to a point in your life where you truly have believed in Jesus Christ, this next verse is specifically for you. This next verse is applicable to everybody who has believed in Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians 2, 6 through 7, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I could spend all night on this thing is chock full of ways that you and I can live right. Yesterday evening, we talked about doing right regardless of circumstances. This right here provides a motivation. What should drive you? What's the motivation behind why you do right? Well, it's because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. If you're in this room and you have believed in Jesus Christ and you are a Christian, then you should live a life that glorifies God, that's focused on just doing what God says is right and not doing what God says is wrong. Tonight, as we close, this application is very simple. Are you willing to accept the exchange of your sinful record for Christ's sinless record? And if you've already done this, are you willing to do right? As the week progresses, we're going to continue to go into depth about how you can do right in your daily life. But these two messages, Monday and Tuesday, are extremely important. Monday is the basis of the whole week. It says, are you willing to do right? Tuesday is how you start doing right. Because if you're not saved, if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, then everything else we talk about for the rest of the week does not apply to you. It doesn't help you. Because doing right, regardless of circumstances, starts with accepting Christ's exchange. This is so important. These two messages are the foundations, the pillars on which the rest of the week stands. If you could, bow your heads and close your eyes. Tonight, I just have two questions, and then I'm going to give you about 10 minutes to go think. My first question is this. Are you 100% sure that you have a relationship with God, that you have believed in the exchange of your sinful record for Christ's sinless record? That's you here tonight. Just simply raise your hand. No one looking around except counselors. Just simply raise your hand if you'd say, I'm 100% sure. It's okay if you aren't, and don't lie if you aren't. You can put your hands down. My second question is this. Are you unsure if you have a relationship with God? If that's you tonight, just simply raise your hand. You'd say, I'm unsure. I'm not sure if I've accepted the exchange of my sinful record for Christ's sinless record. Simply raise your hand. No one else is looking around. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Tonight, I'm about to close in a word of prayer, and I'm going to give you three things to think about. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for the truths that you've given us in your word. I thank you that you love us, that you care about each and every one of us, that you sent your son to die for us. I pray that if anyone in this room is not sure, if they're not 100% sure that they have a relationship with you, that they've accepted this, I pray that they will go talk to a counselor, that they will get help, they'll ask questions, that they will believe in you. I pray that you'll work in their hearts through Scripture. Hear my prayer. Amen.